Accession number 9552, reel 3.
Mr. Basil Farrer, Reel 3. You were telling me about how you decided to stay in the army at the end of your 6 months, to join
yes.
the regular
army. Well, I liked the life. I did the life. I accepted the discipline. I found the conditions were... I really liked it. As a young boy, it was healthy, and companionship. The ones I'd met so far were very a nice lot. Anyhow, I thought of the what was then known as the Army Service Corps, ASC, because I understood there were different trades in there, and then I was inclined towards the clerical side, and of course there was a clerical side there. So I applied to the...
Was there any, besides those positive reasons that you wanted to do something else, was there any negative reason for leaving the regiment?
No, there wasn't. The Sergeant Major was a bit disappointed. He was a very nice chap, the sergeant major. He said, "Look here, fella," he said, if you intend on leaving us, and this is true, I'm quoting his words, he said, "Join the RAMC. You will at least have a chance of dying with your boots on." Now, that was in 1913, and I remember those words very well. You will at least have a chance of dying, because the ASC were they were a departmental corps. They were not frontline. They were trained as soldiers, but they were not in the fighting. Not then. They're probably more mixed up in it now. And there were some casualties too, because they were in the transport. So I...
But the sergeant was then implying that you'd have a chance of being in the in active service in the front.
Yes.
Does this therefore in turn imply that he foresaw war breaking out?
No, I don't... Now, this was in November 1913. I don't think many soldiers thought there was going to be a war. We knew we could be sent on that service because there was always, particularly in India, on the frontier, there was always skirmishes and fighting. Always. In India, on the frontier. And we could be sent to places like that. But as for the European war... No, there was no thought of it in the army. Not to my knowledge. I don't think anybody thought of it. I don't think anybody thought of it. Not in 1913. And why I should say that, it's rather remarkable. But I do remember him saying that.
So what did you decide to do then?
I joined the RAMC.
It was this advice that converted you?
Yes. And so...
How did you get into the RAMC? What did you have to do?
Well... I applied to be transferred to the RAMC, and my application was agreed. I'd applied to join the regular army, and I had choice of regiments, you see. I was joined the regular army. So, following the Sergeant Major's, I changed from ASC to RAMC. I went on a week's leave, I think, after the termination of my 6 months. I was entitled to leave. And then...
Where did you go for your leave? Did you go back to your aunt?
To Bradford.
To your aunt?
To my aunt and uncle, yes.
I just want to ask something perhaps we should have picked up on earlier, but you were now back with your family.
Yes.
What did your family think of what you'd done?
Well, I cannot honestly answer the question, except that I do remember writing, telling them, you might as well, because they could claim me out by saying I was underage. You might as well leave me here, because... undoubtedly I shall come back again in time, so why waste time? I intend being a soldier, I said, so I'm in. And I suppose the attitude, as often was amongst people, it was said, he's made his bed, let him lie on it.
Did they come and see you at all in Richmond?
My aunt called to see me once, yes.
So you went back for this leave?
I went back for a week's leave, then reported to Aldershot. That was the depot then. That was the depot. And incidentally, it was nothing to do with the army. I do remember travelling in the same train, in the same carriage, as a well-known, she wasn't alone, music hall artist at the time. Mary Lloyd. Yes, she'd been appearing in Bradford, and of course the weekend she was off somewhere else, and she was in this carriage with her pals that were drinking there. I remember that.
What
that
impressions did you have of her?
Well, I was only a lad, and honestly, if I had any impressions, I've forgotten them now. Truly, I must speak the honest truth. If I had any impressions at all, I've forgotten them. Anyhow, I reported down there to the barracks at Aldershot.
What was your reception? What happened on your arrival?
Normal, as all recruits. I was just accepted as a recruit. I mean, it was nothing unusual about a recruit joining. And I, again, fell into... There, we had a different kind of training. We had drill, of course, as they had to drill. They had to march. We had all the drill, except the implements part. And we had to attend classes in what you might like a St. John's Ambulance manner, and anatomy and first aid.
Can you tell me more about that, about these lectures? What format did it take? Were there lots of you in?
Yes, the old class. And he'd have a skeleton there, like a medical school.
How many were there in your class?
To a rough guess, I might be entirely wrong. Say 15 to 20.
And were you in a unit of the RAMC, or were you just in the RAMC depot?
Just in the RAMC, we weren't in...
You hadn't been assigned?
No, not assigned to anything. It was the depot, you know, in the depot, you see.
And you were given a full ground in anatomy, were you?
Yes, you had to name every bone in the body. I mean, this, as an example, you had to know every bone in the body. He'd have on the table all surgical instruments. You had to learn all what the names of all of them and what they were for. You were, amongst other things, how to apply a splinter using a rifle, because often in the field you wouldn't have a... So how to use a rifle for a broken leg, you're wounded in the leg. How to put on a tourniquet. And general elementary medical knowledge. Not like a medical student, no. But you had to know something.
Did you find the work interesting?
Fairly interesting, but I wasn't that interested in the working part. As I've told you, I was inclined towards the clerical. And in Alcor, as in the RAMC, they had the nursing part, although we'd all got to go through the initial training. The depot, learn all this stuff. But then they had the postmaster stores and the administrative part. So that at the end of my training there, at Aldershot, 6 months, I was posted to Woolwich, to I think the hospital's called the Hartford or Hertford Hospital at Woolwich. Do you know of that? It was the military hospital at Woolwich.
What dates were... When were you with the RAMC training?
Well, it continued straight from... As soon as my 6 months terminated, it started the next day, the 10th of November. 10th of November, same as I joined the 10th of November. I'd finish on, 10th of May rather, I'd finish on the 9th of whatever month it was, May. So, I'd finish on the 9th of November, that 6 months. So I joined the regular army from the 10th. Carried on, in other words, from the 10th of November 1913.
During the 6 months with the RAMC training, did you have any formal training in rifle shooting, for instance, or any of the other things?
I really do not remember. The only arm that I saw in the RAMC amongst the ranks were the sergeants, who had a sword. The sergeants in the RAMC had a sword. So whether we did any rifle drill, I've forgotten. But what I did used to do, nevertheless, at Aldershot, the ranges, the military ranges, ash ranges, I used to go there on a Saturday afternoon. Being young, I wasn't attracted downtown, because I found out that you could buy cartridges, five cartridges, and I was rather drawn to shooting, so I went along, I found that you could buy five cartridges for a halfpenny each, and you got sixpence back for every bull. And I became quite a first-class shot, and often, more often than not, came away with that sat dropping with an extra half crown.
You but found no difficulty in going up from the small bore to the Lee Enfields, and it didn't affect the accuracy of your shooting?
Oh, no, because whilst in Richmond, we had the Lee Enfield, which we drilled with and we used and all that. And even on the small... It wasn't a small bore rifle. We used to use the Lee Enfield, but there was something attached to it that did the work on this small thing. We did use the real rifle.
Were conditions of service different at Aldershot and what they had been at Richmond, or the same?
Well, the difference was this. The military part, it was part of the town. There were streets which were purely military. In other words, part of the town seemed, without being walled in any way whatsoever, became the military establishment. There were married quarters, there were different regiments, there were canteens, church, there was the church, and there was one thing, a remarkable thing, which I'm sure what they call the penny gaff. And the penny gaff was purely for the military, in the military quarters, was a music hall. Why it was called the penny gaff, you went in, you paid your penny, you got your pint of beer, and you had a music hall show. The idea being to keep the troops in the barracks if they wanted to drink. And then, of course, the artists were not the top of the bill, but it was entertainment, and that was called the penny gaff.
Would you go there a lot?
I used to go there occasionally, and very often to the gym, mostly to the gym.
What sort of turns did they have at the music hall?
As you see these comic turns. On the television now, these funny men, in other words, they were musical artists, but not of the didn't rate very high.
You said you would, your other recreation was to the gymnasium.
Gymnasium, yes. I used to go down there pretty frequently.
Had you taken up sport at this point?
No, I was still pretty young even then. I was. Let me see, this was in 1913. I was still only 16. And they had sport. In fact, the RAMC team, used to have interregimental sport, was about the best team in the army at the time, their football team. But sport was taken up, not as much as it is now. Not as much as it is now, I mean generally speaking. Now everything's sport, isn't it?
Did you play any games at all?
No, I didn't play any games.
What about the soldiers' games? Things like housey-housey, crown and anchor, gambling games. Did you try any of them?
We didn't have those in barracks. No, I don't remember them before the war. My first was during the war. They must have existed. Oh, I do remember, yes. Some soldiers used to play pontoon and some card games. But it was forbidden to gamble. And I've known them to... In each barrack room, there were beds, and there was a central table. I've known them to cover the table with blankets and get underneath with a candle and play cards. Because it was against army rules, the army discipline, to gamble. If they were caught, they'd be punished.
Were the barracks similar to the Richmond barracks on the same pattern?
Much on the same pattern, yes.
What about the food? Was that the same?
The same, too. Except that there, at Aldershot, we'd got, in addition, that NAFI didn't exist, but nevertheless, there was a canteen where you could go along and get what we used to call them a coffee and a wad. A wad is a bun, you know. Or even a food, egg and chips and things like that.
Would it be coffee or would it be tea?
Tea, yes. Oh, yes, tea. And, of course, in Aldershot, there were one or two soldiers' clubs. I remember one in particular. It was called Smith Dorrien, General Smith Dorrien. He was a commander of the Second Corps on the retreat. That is to say, he replaced the chap who died. That fellow who died on the way up, he had a heart attack or something. Smith Dorrien And he had there was a club named after him where I remember I used to go there and watch them. They play billiards, and you could get a pint of beer there. I used to get half a pint, I suppose, because I didn't make it last. And of course, I used to smoke cigarettes. But time passed.
Did people? You said that at Richmond they noticed you were younger. The men did anyway. Did people notice you were younger?
Well,
at Armshop?
Down there there were boys also. The Bugler boys and all that, and drummer boys. But I don't know whether they noticed particularly. I don't know.
Nobody said anything.
No. Anyhow, after the training there, I'd have a weekend pass to London. Having a weekend pass to London when I'd put up at the Union Jack Club.
What would you do during a visit to London?
Well, I'd go to a cinema. If in the afternoon I would walk around the zoo or Regent's Park or something like that. In fact, I do remember, I thought it was the Imperial War Museum, but there was a museum in Whitehall, a military museum. Is that right?
I don't know. It wouldn't be the War Museum. It wasn't started till
no.
In the war.
But there was a military, because I remember seeing maquettes of the Battle of Waterloo and of Trafalgar. You know. So there was a military museum in Whitehall. I think it's Whitehall.
What did the Union Jack Club provide for the soldier?
Well, there, it was just, food was very good. The food was like you were waited on by the chaps or ex-servicemen, I suppose. You had your own room and you had a locker. Because there's another thing. After you'd not as a recruit, when you'd passed all your things and become fully fledged soldier. With your commanding officer's permission, you applied, you could be permitted to walk out in civvies. See? Because, as I say, in some quarters of London, they'd set up soldiers in some of the poor quarters of London. There were. In fact, I remember when I arrived at Aldershot. Now, this is perfectly true. Now, whether the fellow was pulling my leg or not, when I remember in the barrack room, a chap asking me my name, I said, Farrer. He said, yes. I said, my name's Basil Farrer. He said, no relation to Sid Farrer. I said, who's Sid Farrer? Oh, he said, he got set upon and killed last week in there's a place between Woolwich. This was in Woolwich, rather. No, between Aldershot. Between Woolwich and the town. There's a very rough quarter to go through. And I think this shot was set upon and beaten.
So there was more ill feeling against soldiers in the Aldershot area.
No, this was in London, in the certain part of London. In fact, we used to have a belt, walking out dress, and with the regimental crest, and it was well known that going through certain areas, you'd loosen your belt so as to be able to get it off quickly.
But that was particularly in London.
Yes.
What about in Aldershot? Was there any trouble?
No. I didn't go out much in Aldershot. I don't remember going out hardly at all, because, as I said, the military part of Aldershot was like a town in itself. We'd got, as I say, we'd got the canteen, and we'd got the amusement. There was nothing to go. Chaps did go out downtown, but I don't remember going out in town in Aldershot.
When you finished at your training, were you given any sort of test to make sure that you...
Ah, yes, you had to pass a test.
What was this in? In medical techniques? Or
in what you'd been taught. I mean, you'd be there with all the skeleton, the officers testing you, who would point to a bone in the body, what's this? Or point to an instrument, what's this? And what's this used for? And what would you do if a man fainted? Things like that.
Practical side to it as well?
Yes.
Did anyone fail, or was it most people?
That I don't remember directly. Of course, then there was the nursing side, and the nursing side, there were various grades where you could get higher pay for first class. And then, of course, you could go in for pharmaceutical study, because there was a military pharmacy there. If you went on the nursing side, you could take up studies for that.
Did you do any of those?
No, I went straight for the clerical side, and when I left Aldershot, I was posted to a hospital in Woolwich called the, I think it was the Hereford or Hartford, military hospital. It was quite near the Royal Military Academy, if you know where that is.
Now, at this point, is this when you'd already been studying for your second class education?
I'd already had that.
You'd got that at Woolwich.
And I'd started going for my first at Aldershot, whilst I was at Aldershot, and dropped out of it because I was attending gyms. You know, I used to go more to the gyms in the evening, so I stopped going to class. Never got my first.
You were posted to this military hospital at Woolwich?
Yes.
Where were you put in the hospital? Where was your accommodation?
It was in the grounds. There were two or three huts, which were like dormitories. Exactly like, instead of being a brick building as in Aldershot and in Richmond, there were wooden huts, fairly comfortable, and the beds were all along there. And of course, there was a mess in place in part of the hospital. But I was immediately posted to the quartermaster stores, and I became the quartermaster's clerk.
Did this part of the RAMC have a name as a unit, or was it just known as the hospital?
It was known as this hospital, whatever the Hertford Hospital or whatever it was, I've forgotten. It's a name like that. Hereford or Hartford or something. A military hospital.
What were your duties in the stores then? Can you tell me exactly what you had to do and what training you were given?
No special training for that. It was just ordinary clerical duties which you learnt as you went along. You got to know all the army forms. If you had to indent for various things, you had to know what form and how to make out the indent and where to send it. And everything was numbered, for instance. Even the forms, was army form 123, you got to know what it was. And if you wanted any, you had to indent for it to wherever the supply place.
And what did these forms represent? What went behind each form? What were you actually moving about and doing with these forms?
Well, we'd indent for anything that was required, any clothing, especially the hospital, and anything particularly wanted by the hospital. We'd indent, and I've forgotten where the blinking indent went. And then the quartermaster did that. I'd just make out the indent. I was there so short a time. It was only from well after in the early part of 13. Well, war broke out 9 months after, so I could only have been at Woolwich say 3 or 4 months. 3 or 4 months.
So you got there round about May 1914.
Yes, and then I do know this. Incidentally, we did have. All of us had our a card above our bed where we'd report on mobilisation. Now, in a regiment, it wouldn't be necessary because the regiment would move, but RAMC, you could be posted individually. And we did have a card. And mine, if I remember rightly, was posted to number 7 Field Hospital, something like that. And that was the unit I was to... I was to report at Colchester, and I wasn't alone. There were a number of us moved from Woolwich to Colchester.
I'll come to that, because that's when we get to the actual mobilisation. But just one final point. In the stores, you dealt with medical supplies and with normal food and clothing, did you? Or did you just deal... What did you cover? What was your brief?
Truthfully, now, we're going back 73 years. I was a boy of 16 years of age. And I just did things automatically, and they didn't really. I couldn't say that we indented for medical supplies. Although I should imagine it would be part of the quartermaster's duty. He's quartermaster for the supplies, or whether in the hospital they had a special division for medical supplies. I really don't know.
Had you started missing being with a battalion? As you'd been with the Yorks, did you want to be in a larger unit, or were you quite happy in this smaller unit?
I was quite happy there, quite happy. It was quite near London. I mean, it was Woolwich, and I think Greenwich is not far from there, is it? Near Woolwich. I think I remember walking in with another chap where we used to go for walks in Greenwich Park. Is there a park there? And then once or twice I'd go down to London. To the cinema or the.
Now you mentioned.
I remember, for instance, there's a special day in the year when Amsterdam was all a go. bank holiday, something like that. Some bank, it wouldn't be bank holiday for the August, because that was when war broke out. But there was some part of the year where there was quite a fair on Amsterdam, and I remember going there whilst I was stationed at the village.
Did you yourself have any trouble in any of the rougher areas?
Or no. No.
Did you only meet with any antagonism at all in your trips as a soldier?
I had a peculiar, I won't say experience, a little incident, but if I tell it, it'll just show you how naive and young I was. I was staying at the Union Jack Club. This was when I was in Aldershot. I'd gone for a weekend in London. And I went out in the evening, a Saturday evening, and I remember I was approaching Trafalgar Square, that I remember. And all of a sudden there was a man at the side of me and got into a conversation. I replied, and he offered me a cigarette. He had a silver cigarette case. I took it. And then he said, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm going to the cinema. Didn't know, forgotten the exact conversation, how it went on. But then I got a bit suspicious. He said, would you like to see some girls? Oh, I said, no, I'm not interested. I said, matter of fact, I'm going to that cinema there. And I left him quickly. And the cinema in those days was sixpence, shilling and one and six. I thought, now that fellow will think I've gone in there, been a soldier in the sixpenny ones. And I went in the one and six. And sitting there, I spotted him. He went to join me. Where I was, having gone through the others. Then I did get suspicious. I thought he was after me money. I had £2. We had money, gold then. I had £2. I put one in my sock here and the other in that. And when we came out, he said, well, what about it? Let's come along. And I said, no, thanks. And we were near the Strand, and I scooted like my hell. I got scared of the man. I was only a boy, you know, and he was a man. But now, of course, I know what it was. He was an homosexual. After soldiers. That's the only experience I've had of that kind of thing.
Were you in uniform?
I was in uniform, of course. That's the toughest thing I've had happen to me, you know, before the war.
You said you were quite a naive young lad. Did the language of soldiers upset you at all?
Frankly, I've got the impression that it wasn't as bad then as it is now. I will not say for sure because I can't remember. I've got that impression the more so because when I rejoined, I was truly shocked. I'd been absent from the army so long, I was shocked to find that no soldier could say a sentence without putting an adjective to every noun.
That was in the Second World War.
So in the First World War, it could not have been as bad as it is now. There must have been swearing. I mean, soldiers. There were soldiers. There must have been, but I have no recollection of it. I myself didn't. I wasn't used to it, and never have. I was only speaking on the same subject last night with my son. Whether I'm a prude, an hypocrite or not, but I don't like it. I don't like hearing it. And I especially don't like hearing it from women.